Councils repeated. June 19, 1908, typed. Again, representations have been made to me that all who have the care of the sick in our sanitariums should bear in mind that these institutions are established for a special work and are to be conducted in a way that will bring honor to God. Our sanitariums should be established in retired places that are free from all noise and confusion, such as the rumbling of carriages and streetcars. The Lord has taught us that great efficacy for healing lies in a proper use of water. These treatments should be given skillfully. We have been instructed that in our treatment of the sick, we should discard the use of drugs. There are simple herbs that can be used for the recovery of the sick, whose effect upon the system is very different from that of those drugs that poison the blood and endanger life. The number of our lady physicians should be increased. Care should be taken that lady nurses have the care of lady patients, and gentlemen nurses of gentlemen patients. I would say to our physicians, never allow your patients to think that in the human being is power to heal the sick. You are to depend much more than you have done on the cooperation of the great physician in the work of healing disease. Your faith is to lay hold upon the efficacy of Christ to make effectual the effort put forth for the recovery of the sick. There are some in our institutions who claim to believe the principles of health reform, and yet who indulge in the use of flesh meats and other foods which they know to be injurious to health. I say to such in the name of the Lord, do not exert your influence against the principles of health reform. Do not accept positions in our institutions while you refuse to live the principles for which our institutions stand. For by doing this, you make doubly hard the work of teachers and leaders who are striving to carry the work on right lines. Clear the King's highway. Cease to block the way of the messages he sends. I have been shown that the principles that were given us in the early days of the message are to be regarded as just as important by our people today as they were then. There are some who have never followed the light given us on the question of diet. It is time now to take the light from under the bushel and let it shine forth in clear, bright rays. Some who are not willing to receive the light, but who prefer to walk in ways of their own choosing, will search the testimonies to find something in them to encourage the spirit of unbelief and disobedience. Thus, a spirit of disunion will be brought in, for the spirit which leads them to criticize the testimonies will also lead them to watch their brethren to find in them something to condemn. Satan's rebellion shut him out from the courts of heaven, and all who engaged with him in warfare against Christ were cast out with him. The exercise of Satan's seductive arts against the government of heaven did not cease with his expulsion from the presence of God. Year by year they have grown more deceptive, more subtle, more determined. Every additional evidence rejected increases his power to resist the government of God and of Christ. And every ray of hope resisted helps to create for him and for his followers a hopeless future. Satan has turned men from the worship of the true Sabbath, which at the creation of the world God sanctified and blessed, and which on Mount Sinai he repeated amid terrible majesty to his people. All who reject the sacred message regarding the requirements of the law of God reject truth. God's obedient people are to hold fast to truth in every line. This is the only hope of the soul when Satan seeks to take control of heart and mind. The resistance of truth leaves men captive to the will of Satan. Those who today hold fast to erroneous ideas and feel satisfied with popular errors, rejecting a plain, "Thus saith the Lord," reveal that had they lived in the days of Christ, they would have helped to swell the cry of the murderous mob, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Luke 23, verse 21. God requires continual advancement from His people. They need to learn that indulged appetite is the greatest hindrance to mental improvement and soul sanctification. As a people, with all our profession of health reform, we eat too much. Indulgence of appetite is the greatest cause of physical and mental debility and lies largely at the foundation of feebleness and premature death. Intemperance begins at our tables when we use an unwise combination of foods. Let the individual who is seeking to possess purity of spirit bear in mind that in Christ there is power to control the appetite.